don't call it a comeback. Don't even call it proof that this will be weekly, because neither is fucking true. Welcome to Being Very Sad with me, Chris Bann, and my co-host Andy Hamilton. Say hello, Andy Hamilton. That's right, it's Being Very Sad, the podcast about things that have made us sad this week. Let's not fuck about. Andy, what is thing number one that's made you sad this week?
Alright, thing number one that has made me sad this week is that it's a fucking international break. Man, there's nothing worse than the international break, because international friendlies are the most pointless waste of time in the world. I hate international football.
For those of us who don't know, what is an international break?
Basically.
Because I think I know, but...
periodically, throughout the exciting Premier League season, they will do a break to play some international friendlies, so your ultimately incredibly mediocre international team can keep playing together and get a bit of practice in. Before the tournament, they will unceremoniously be dumped out of in the early rounds. I hate it. I mean, this is largely down to the fact that the England football team hasn't been very exciting to watch for about half my lifespan. Right. I just haven't got any real excitement to watch them play, especially not in a match that has zero stakes.
Yeah, and it'll be against, like, Macedonia.
No, it's against Germany, to be fair. But, this is the testing ground. I'd be amazed if they put out a full-strength team. The whole point of it is to kind of figure out what's going on. And but that unfortunately means that the Premier League has to go on bloody hiatus for 2 weeks while they figure this out. I support Newcastle, so I'm essentially just delaying the inevitable relegation, but that is still far more exciting than watching England play. And the absolute crushing, the bit that makes me the most sad, is my day job is horrendous, and I always have to work Saturday, which is the most horrendous day. And as sad as it might seem, between the hours, it's not even 3 o'clock anymore, all day from about 12:15 onwards, 12:30 onwards, whenever the early kickoff is, you get these moments between dealing with the fucking public where you can just pop your phone out your pocket, go in the web browser, BBC's already there, click on it, takes you straight to the football page, and within a couple of seconds you can just see, it's still 0-0, or, fucking hell, they've scored.
Yeah.
That's sometimes all I need to get me through the day without killing.
It is worth pointing out, on my stag do, just before we went out one day, you burst downstairs, and I've never seen a sadder look on somebody's face as he looked around and realised that not a single person in the room knew enough about football, with the exception of me, sort of. You just started going, Leicester are beating City. And there's nobody I can tell. There's nobody who appreciates this. What can I do with this information? You just end up sort of bellowing it out of the door in the hope that somebody would hear. Kudos for picking the most trivial bit of football news that's come out this week that could make a person sad.
I mean, as a Newcastle fan, that hasn't really made me particularly sad.
Well, no. I mean, do we want to talk about that? I mean... I mean, I'm not saying let's have a good laugh at let's have a good joke about Adam Johnson. I mean, he just needs to go on Twitter and you can see that.
I'm a Newcastle fan, so this is dangerous ground for me.
Right.
I mean, my team had already generated countless chants aimed at the man before he'd even been found guilty. I mean, we were just obviously hedging our bets at that point, but...
Yeah. I mean, the thing I found really interesting about the whole thing was... because, I didn't put... Right, I'm going to have to choose my words very, very carefully, because I'm sat here looking at Audacity and painfully aware that this is being recorded.
Okay.
When the story first broke, and obviously, as I say, not being somebody who pays an awful lot of attention to football... I had, because the original story was that he'd met a girl at the club and found out afterwards, wasn't it?
Well, no, that wasn't so much the original story as the story that kind of came out after he had decided to plead not guilty and start playing fucking football again.
Right.
Despite the fact that the higher-ups at his club had access to all 800 WhatsApp messages and an admission of guilt from him, which was enough to, at the very least, suspend the cunt.
Yeah. If only for his own safety, yeah. Surely. But the story that initially came out, I had a degree of sympathy for him, given what had happened.
Okay.
And then, slowly, I mean, I work with two guys who are really, really into their football. And slowly, as more and more came out, my sympathy slowly started to... Well, slowly, no. Very quickly started to erode.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to see that people were still defending him.
Yeah.
Right up until the last. Until afterwards, Sky News went, oh, by the way, here's a load of other stuff that... Now, was he found not guilty, or did they just not pursue it in
I
the
I believe
end?
The exact term that was used was, it was, and I quote the exact term, it was jokey in nature. But the thing which confuses me the most about this is, all right, okay, everything else that's gone by was, you know, it's fucking awful. And, there's, you know, again, can't stress, there's only one victim here.
Yes.
And, you know, with any luck, hopefully now this has kind of all come to light and, you know, he's been jailed for it. She can try, if she even can, to, you know, piece herself back together. But one of the things that came out after, which they're now allowed to report, is the fact that, one, he was taking loads of STD medication, and two, he was found in possession of extreme animal pornography. Now, I'm no expert in the field.
Right.
It's quite literal field. but what deems normal animal pornography to be extreme? Right.
Right.
Is the pig wearing a fucking gimp mask or something?
Yeah, the pig hasn't explicitly given consent.
Yeah, is this where we're going?
There was a case recently, actually, and the only reason I know about this is because it happened down the road from me in my local Crown Court, where a man was eventually, everything was dropped. His phone had been taken off him for an unrelated matter.
Okay.
And while his phone was being investigated, they found what they thought was a video of a tiger having sex with a woman.
Okay. Right?
Now, this got as far as court before it was pointed out that at the end of the video, the tiger speaks. And it was a man... It was basically someone fucking dressed as Tony the Tiger.
Oh, God.
Slipping a lady some. And, he got taken to court for that, for possession of animal pornography, yeah. I mean, a tiger, of all things. I mean
that's brave.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to put together animal pornography, what makes you go, dogs? No, dogs are too simple. Sheep, well, they're probably about the right size, but they're not very exciting, are they? I tell you what is exciting, a tiger. I mean, you know. We already grind their penises up for aphrodisiacs, don't we? So, I know. Let's just pop one of them on the woman and we'll record that. So the international break.
Yeah. So the international break's made me quite sad.
So what, is there just... There's no football on at all over the Easter weekend?
Well, it's just these fucking internationals.
So, but I would have thought...
Yes! Like, I know what you're going to say. Yes!
That it would be a really good opportunity, like a really good money spinner for every team in the country to have a good... Yeah.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, like that's what the Boxing Day games are for,
isn't
it? It's
the best part of Christmas.
Yeah. Like, I get this, and I have, well, minimally... I mean, to be honest with you, I quite like international football.
You're part of the problem.
Now, international football's brilliant, because it's like the weird spin-off series of football. Like, there's all the characters that you know, but it doesn't really matter what happens, because by the end of it, it's just going to go back to how it was anyway. And in the spin-off season, like, X character gets to be, like, all exciting and have his own, like, little character before he goes back. And it's like, you know, like when you get, like, the spin-off Marvel stuff as well, where it's kind of fourth wall breaking-y.
Mm.
It's like that, you know, you get the heroes of the World Cup. And it will be, like say, for instance, Michael Owen a few years ago. We had that one incredible World Cup and then did fuck all.
Yeah, he's the worst person to ever live.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I just remembered that you're a Newcastle supporter. Yeah, I know you're not keen on the man. Again, he lives very local to me. He built his house on a public footpath.
See, what a fucking ball ache that man is.
Yeah, and he used to land his helicopter over the road from my office when he was flying up to Newcastle, I believe, because he didn't... wasn't there some clause in that he didn't have to be there very often because he basically didn't realise how far away it was?
He's just a shite. That's
all. But yeah, like, he had that one... He got to be the hero for that one World Cup. And like every year... Or like, you know,
he
when was
that
it...
that goal against Argentina, didn't he?
Yeah. Or like South Korea, that year South Korea were amazing.
I can't get that. It must. Yeah, that might have been World Cup...
2012?
No, it wasn't 2012. I was at school. I was on residential when the Argentina match happened.
Oh, no, I'm talking about South Korea. South Korea, yeah, the year that South Korea were really good. That was like 2012 or 2008. It was recent-ish. Michael Owen would have been 2002, I would guess.
No, it was earlier than that as well. It must have been 98.
Would it be in France 98? Maybe it was.
No, it wouldn't have been France. That was the World Cup, wasn't it? France 98. Yeah, that's probably about right. Year 9 residential.
What's residential?
It's when you go away with school, isn't it? For like a week. We went to where the fucking Hound of the Baskervilles happened.
All right, we just used to call it fucking going to France. It was alright, we went to Disneyland one year because not enough people wanted to go to Marseille, so they fucking tacked on a trip to Disneyland. A lad was sick and it smelled like roast beef crisps. It was good.
That's grim. That has made me sad.
Right, my first thing this week is that there is no good ska punk music anymore. Ska sucks! Ska revival isn't cool, you stupid! Fuck! The fans are only in it for the bucks! And if you don't believe me, you're a schmuck! But the trend will die out with any luck! Yo!
Some would say that there was never any good ska punk music.
Some people would, Andy, but I'd fucking credit you with better taste than that because you and I, right, grew up at a... You're a year or two older than me, I think, but we were into about the same things at about the same time,
right?
Yeah,
it's almost like someone was doing a genetic experiment with, like, people our age groups to see what would happen to people socially if you exposed them to loads of Kerrang TV and sent them out into the world as adults.
And fucking P-Rock, man. See, that's the thing. You are the right age. You were the right age in that 6 months that P-Rock existed to remember P-Rock, right?
Yeah.
But, right, so I grew up on... And I'm not necessarily talking... Well... So, I'm not necessarily just talking like your Les and Jakes, your Real Big Fishes. Don't forget, don't get me wrong, they're a big part of it. But I'm also talking about bands like Random Hand, bands like Cap Down, Farce, all those, there's a lot of great UK, I don't like to use the phrase, but I'm going to, scardcore bands.
Right.
Which is your hardcore and ska mixed together. That existed in... the early 2000s to kind of 2005, 2006, and then basically all of them either grew up, realised that carrying on was financially unviable, I think a few of members die, people got ill, people realised that, I tell you what, money's actually a nice thing to have. And very slowly all these bands just kind of disappeared. And... recently I found one of the first Spotify playlists I ever made in 2009 or something like that, and it's got a load of great scarcore bands that I remember from being a teenager. So I've been listening to them and thinking, well, there must be something new that's kind of... because genres of music don't just vanish, like they don't just die.
Yeah.
But with the exception of... I mean, the Skints are the closest thing... that I found recently anyway, that and they're more of like a reggae dub band, and there's just nothing left. And it's a real shame because I can remember like ska, particularly ska bands, always used to look like on stage just some fucking group of ragtag stoned dickhead idiot teenagers, of which I was one. And I could look at them and think, yeah, what you do looks exciting and you make it look important. And I could probably do that as well, because I can play guitar and I can play fucking syncopated chords. I could be in one of those bands. Definitely. Like, never mind the fact that I can't, and let's be honest, just about anybody who's white can't really carry off dreads. and I get really, really like sad if I'm made to sleep in a van for more than a night. But some Scar represents to me, like, do you remember when you were a teenager, coming to the end of your teenage years, just before Hope properly died?
Right, and just about remember.
Yeah, and you will have attached yourself to something, and that will be the thing that represented, that kind of represented both teen, like, idiotic, childish hope, but also combined it with that kind of, that's what I'm going to do as an adult. I'm nearly there, and I'm going to be in, like, I'll be in a band a bit like No Comply, and we'll just tour the country forever, and it'll be fine. And, I, you know, maybe I'll shack up with a singer from another band, and I'll love her forever, and it'll be brilliant. And then the band will break up, but in 10 years' time, we'll get back together and do a reunion show in the fucking, the Buckley Grosvenor Memorial Hall, which is a Masonic hall, I found out recently.
All right. Need special links to play there.
Yeah, I didn't realise that the Masons were still a thing. Is it still... Well, I'm asking you, like, you'd know, and even if you did know, you couldn't tell me.
I wouldn't
me.
Tell you, yeah.
Yeah. But I assume it's still all fucking secret handshakes and fixing your washing machine for free if you know how to do the secret handshakes.
Well, I guess so, yeah. We'll try and get into that.
You should. Apparently, my granddad was a Mason. Now, I'm pretty sure that means I could be a Mason if I tried hard enough. Oh, but you need a trade, don't you?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could rock up to the Masons and go... Because what I do...
No.
Yeah. like, by definition, that's one thing they don't fucking need.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I could do. I could wipe all tracism off the internet.
That's true, yeah. You can get in there.
That's what the Masons need, mate. That's what the Masons need, is someone to wipe them off the internet. I could do that for them. But Scar... I mean, I've also had, like, great memories of... Have you ever seen Les and Jake at a festival?
Yes.
Right, so you've lived. Like, that is...
right, yeah, okay.
Regardless of your opinion of their music, watching Les and Jake live at a festival is amazing. I mean, I saw them in a 300-capacity room recently. Basically, I think they're fucking skint now.
Right.
They introduced one of their songs and said, you remember that album, Hello Rock View?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, fucking love Hello Rock View. And they went, that album made our record label $3 million, and it made our manager $2 million, and it made each of us about $3,000. And we went, oh, will you still play Last One Out of Liberty City for us? And they did, and it was brilliant, because obviously they're going to, because it's getting to the point now where nobody's left, and they're probably all in their 40s now, less than Jake.
Has he still got his fucking long-ass dreads, which he shouldn't do?
I think he's cut him now. Well, he had, like, that one, didn't he? Like, the guy from...
So, Max Cavalera, where they've all kind of merged into one.
Yeah.
Like, when he headbangs, it moves as a unit.
Yeah, like someone's interfering with a bush. Yeah. No, I was thinking of, is it Fallen 2 or one of their metal bands?
I'm out.
And the singer's got one big long dreadlock, or he had one big long dreadlock, and it just looked like a big fluffy snake on the back of his head.
Shite.
But... So were you ever into Ska? Because
no,
you are the right
really.
Age.
The thing about it is, like, it's the guitar tone, man.
Right.
That little... It's like bloody fingernails down a blackboard. And I don't know why. And then the second you bring brass into it as well, I get a little bit confused.
Right.
I mean, I like a good pop song when it's done in that rock, really enthusiastic way.
Mm.
Right, you know, a big pop rock banger, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why Less Than Jake got a pass. Because, like, you know, they're going to play fucking My Best Friends and Metalheads.
Yeah, because Less Than Jake had choruses, let's
yeah,
be fair.
I think that a good chorus can let me look past it. But then I start finding myself going, like, as a genre, what, like, you, Mr. Scar Band, what are you bringing to the table that I can't get from just listening to that impression that I get again.
Yeah, well, at least the impression that I get is a miserable song.
Right.
But that's actually another thing, Less Than Jake especially. I mean, I've been listening to Hella Rockview again recently, and it's fascinating now as a man very nearly 30 and who lives a 3-minute drive from his mum's house.
Right.
And all the lyrics in Hella Rockview are like, I thought leave I'd be the town. First person to leave yeah, this yeah. town. I never thought I'd still be here 10 years later thinking, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And I said that, actually, on this, right, I need to run this past you. This is vaguely music related still.
Okay.
I was driving to work the other day listening to Blood for Blood.
Okay.
People, if you don't know Blood for Blood, they are a Boston-based hardcore band, and they're big into class war, pretty right, much. Yeah. Now, I'm sat there, driving to work, listening to Blood for Blood, and I'm singing along to, the song's called White Trash Anthem, and it's all about, have you ever prayed to the night sky, watching stolen cars drive by? And I sat there and think, I'm driving a brand new Fiat Punto on my way to my... Am I allowed to do that? Like,
yeah.
Am I allowed to associate with that? Or like Scum Triumphant by Random Hand? Like, I get like the proper guilts, because I still identify with this stuff. But at the same time, I'm far too old and probably far too middle class now to really be like, yeah, you fucking tell the man. We won't do what you say, except I will for one particular man, the man who's in charge of the company I work for, because I want my Christmas bonus.
One of the one of my Scar stories is I saw King Prawn at
yes! Reading. Sorry.
Actually, right, yeah. on the subject, like, they're playing near my house in December.
Really?
Yeah, the
you,
King.
You might have a visitor in December, mate.
December 9th.
I'm going to come down. Was that Reading 2003?
Yes, it would have been, because their last record had just come out, because although they were touring and they didn't put out.
So, yeah, I saw him in Leeds that year,
was
yeah.
it called Got the First?
So, yes,
yeah,
Got the First.
Right, that was the last. It was definitely that year. And they played in the tent.
Yeah.
And they played a song off that album called Smoke Some Shit.
Yeah.
Which is about what you think it is.
Yeah,
and it is not the most subtle of songs, and they'd attracted like quite a fucking like punk crowd, and when that song started, and they introduced it because it's off the new record, and they started and it got to that chorus, these three lads in front of me stopped moshing, like had a look of pure rage on their face. They stopped, turned around, so they weren't backs to the stage.
Yeah.
And then raised up X's with their head.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Crossed their wrists and raised them up with their head. And I was like, oh, fuck. They've upset the edges, man.
You lads have been tricked.
Yeah, you've been duped. Yeah,
that was a good year for the as it was called then, the lockup tent, I think it would have been.
I poisoned the well that year in the lockup
possibly.
Tent.
Possibly. That year was, I'm trying to think, Mad Cad. I know I saw the Mad Caddies that year. King Prawn, Alistair, I think. I remember the Pennywise were definitely on, because I remember seeing Pennywise. It was a really, really good lockup tent that year. I think we spent the entire, because Leeds used to have it on, because it was back when the lockup stage was only one day as well, and Leeds got it on the Sunday. We spent the entire Sunday there, apart from going to see AFI.
One day. That was it. It was AFI,
yeah.
And I saw them, and they were fucking brilliant, actually.
They were, and they probably finished with God Called In
Sick
Today. They
did, and it's still one of the best gig moments I've ever seen, which was fucking Davey had got on the crowd, and I was sort of quite far back at this point. And during that song, it was all white strobes, as you'd expect from AFI, and fucking smoke. And he tried to climb up on top of the crowd, and he looked like he was having trouble balancing. Mm. And it was during the bridge.
Yeah.
There's that bit where it goes, dun, 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 pause.
Mm.
And then it comes back in with the final chorus, which is all, whoa.
Well, yeah.
On the dun, 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 it looked like he was about to stack it.
Right.
And then in the pause, lights went off. And then when it came back on, he hadn't stacked it. Everyone had raised him up really high. And everyone was fucking going in on the woes for the final part, and I just remember going, oh, I wish I'd got a fucking photo of that.
Well, I can tell you for now, if you'd been at Leeds, you'd have seen the exact same thing, ruined by 17-year-old fat me, crowd surfing basically into him. Because it was their last song. It was the last band of the night, and I was fucking up for beating the crowd back out.
Yeah.
So me and my girlfriend at the time decided we'd crowd surf out, unaware that he was going to fucking get on top of the crowd like a mad prick. And now, obviously, because he's doing that, the crowd surging towards him, and I just bounced along and basically almost clotheslined him off the top of the crowd. So you could well have fucking seen him stack it. In fairness to him, he was a consummate professional, passed me over to the security guards, and I went on my way.
Here's something that'll make you sad.
Go on.
Bringing the podcast full circle, guess who else played on the bill that weekend?
I know Metallica did. Go on.
Lost Prophets.
Well, that does make me sad, yeah.
Alright, here's something that's been making me sad for the last few weeks, and it looks like it's going to continue to make me sad for at least the next few days, is that Street Fighter V still doesn't really work properly. If it's me or my dad, you get a scar on your chest like Saga. She fighting, that's what I'm bad at. My thing working perfect. I come through in the beat up on dog. Give man a hundred slaps like Yonder. Give me the mic and let me ride it with him, cause I speak the fire just like that.
See, the thing about this is I've discovered that Street Fighter V only doesn't work if somebody who plays Street Fighter V says it doesn't work. If somebody who doesn't play it suggests that it doesn't work, then 300 people who do play Street Fighter are like, no, actually, it's fine. It's just, on the whole, it's fine. And it's actually the best fighting game ever made. It's just that. Occasionally, there is a slight issue with dropout and with lag. But other than that, it's largely fine. Then 5 minutes later, you'll see the same people going, Capcom, you cunts, this does not work.
It's so temperamental still. Like, there's just certain aspects of it that just, like, it's got to the point now where it is definitely better than where it was launch week, which I tried not to be too pissed off about, because I had been saying there's no fucking way this game's working the first week.
Launch week, things are always fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I don't expect them to be throwing as much money at it as, say, like a Battlefield, which never works first week. So yep. I'd prepared myself for the worst. But it's still just so temperamental. Like, you know, for every couple of games you'll get that are fine, you'll get one that is completely unplayable. Making battle lounges, which is basically the private games with your friends, that is something that still hasn't been properly fixed. It's a bit temperamental. Apparently that is a problem that is specifically European-based as well. Apparently battle lounges that work fine in America, which is a bit weird. Don't know what's going on there. The content which was supposed to drop in March is still dropping in March, but by March they mean the 28th of March. Now, I'd heard a rumour going around that it had failed Sony's, what's it called, basically their tests.
Oh, right, okay.
And that's why it didn't come out. And now they've said, right, this is how it's going to drop. You're getting the first batch of content, which is basically the single-player stuff, finally, on the 28th. And then 2 days later, on the 30th, you're getting the first first DLC character, Alex, who's basically what I've been waiting for my entire life. but there's meant to be a shop in-game where you can buy the DLC characters. They're about £3.79 in real money.
Right.
Like, it's not... Like, no one's complaining about the microtransactions in this game, if you're not...
No, four quid seems about... Yeah.
And, like, the costumes are about £1.79, but it's only premium costumes. You have to buy a lot of them. You can earn with fight money, which is what you get for just playing the game. And the story mode for every character takes half an hour to finish for everyone. Like, you can... It's barely existent. Right. Every story mode is three rounds. That's not three matches. That's three rounds. Like, that's single rounds.
Yeah.
And if you blast through all those, you'll get 100,000... Well, you'll get more than that. You'll get nearly 200,000 fight monies, and it's 100,000 to buy a character, so you don't even have to pay real money for them. And they clearly designed the game around everyone being able to get the first one for free.
Well, yep, seems fair.
Yeah, so that's what they've done. But they've said that the real money shop isn't ready to go. So they've had to, like, basically figure out a way that they're going to provide this content if some people have spent all their fight money and want to buy Alex and they can't pay real money for him. So what they're doing is they're just going to let everyone have him for now. And then when the real money shop goes live, you will then have to buy him with your fight points or real money. You'll keep all the unlocks and stuff that you've done with him at that point in statistics. You would just then have to decide whether you wanted to pay for him. But that instantly makes me think, like, yeah, something's gone wrong here. Because they're now saying that the real money shop, well, the real money aspect of the shop is delayed indefinitely. So and they've even said, like, if another character comes out, because it's meant to be one a month, so if they get to the end of April and the next character's out, we will get them for free as well. Not for free, but we will get them basically on loan as well until they figure it out. So it just, again, it just seems like that if it's not one thing, it's a fucking other. Like, everyone's expecting the on Monday, when the big fix comes in on Monday, it's probably going to address the server issues, because it's going to be suicide if it doesn't. Mm. But like, there's still just so much shit wrong with this fucking game.
A cynical man would say that this giving you a character until you can buy it is... So let's think about this sensibly now, right?
It's how Dota works.
Well, they'd have like a rotation, don't they? All I'm thinking is, because this is kind of different, because now there's one character. So I'm thinking is, on Tuesday, whenever it is, everybody gets him.
Yeah.
Cool. Right? Now, what would have happened if you had to buy him? Probably 90% of your audience would buy him.
Yeah, brilliant. And I would say that, again, 90% of the audience have earned enough points to get him without paying real money for him, for sure.
But mind you, because that's true, because you can still pay your fight coins. Mm. So maybe that's not... Because I was basically going to say, by giving him to 100% of your audience and then going, right, now you have to pay for him, you might get 92% of your audience, but if they can use their fucking fight... Did I see the word Zenny?
Yeah, that's the name of the currency that you use when you're paying real money.
But that is a shit word.
It is. Why aren't they using bison dollars?
Yeah, the exchange rate's fucked, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Like, one bison dollar. It'd be less than one bison dollar per... less than one bison dollar per character. Mm. Just seems a bit tapped, doesn't it? It's not a good system. But it does amaze me. Like, I mean, I've been watching somebody play Trapmania, which came out this week eventually, and I mean, I know that's nowhere near the size of a launch of Capcom, but at the same time, there's nowhere near the resource of Capcom, and like, that game has 100 racer races and it works fine, and it works like flawlessly. It's really quick, there's no problems with it, everything's super smooth. Every so often you might see like another racer jump a little bit, and you just look at that and go, right, that person's obviously got shitty internet connection, that's fine.
Right, yeah.
But like, but then at the same time, I mean, I get that there's an amount of fudging that can be done with that, and like, if it loses a couple of seconds of coordinates, it can just kind of piece together what probably happened. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Street Fighter, it can't, that can't happen. Like, it needs to be... the biggest problem is, it needs to be better than it can ever actually physically be until quantum computing is like properly works.
Pretty much, I mean, like, the netcode they're using is a version of rollback GGPO netcode, which is pretty when it works, it's flawless and actually allows, because there's a little bit of a window for input latency in the game now, so it actually allows you to have pretty accurate simulation of what it's like offline, whereas something like Immortal Kombat X has just had it patched in, but the whole of last year when you were playing it, strategies that worked online literally didn't work offline and vice versa, because you couldn't react to certain things, whereas Street Fighter V, when it works, you can. It works the same way. So when it works, it's fine, but unfortunately right now It's just, it's a bit temperamental. It's annoying because it's on the list, man. You know, it's like, this stuff's all timer for me. And I'd even say that, you know, Dark Souls, Super Metroid, all that sort of stuff, favorite games of all time. But if we're talking Desert Island, it's going to be one of the Street Fighters, because you can just play it and keep getting better at it. You know, that's the point.
Yeah. You should choose Third Strike, it's the prettiest one.
Ladies, Third Strike is the best game. That's why I'm so excited about getting Alex back in it. I want some fucking Third Strike in my Street Fighter V.
Third Strike was responsible for me seeing you topless on my stag do, actually.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good work in netcode as well.
Yeah, let's not tell the story of that. Let's just leave that as it is. The other thing I've seen, I think this happened to you somewhere, actually, and it's happened at a big tournament as well, is offline games, or rather local games, getting disconnected from the central server.
Yeah. That actually happened to us the other week, because we did something really stupid.
All right.
Which is, we connected... I say it's stupid, it's not fucking stupid. Heaven forbid, we connected the PS3 to the internet. So, it would unlock things as we actually played... as we played against each other, and
that's sensible.
The Capcom servers shut off, and it instantly stops the game that you're in. But there was a tournament recently where they were playing for money in a real tournament, and obviously it happened during the grand finals. Yeah, it disconnected, but yeah, there's a tournament happening right now as we speak. In fact, part of the reason I'm talking so quickly is so I can fucking get back to watching it. But yeah, that's happening right now. Those PS4s are not connected to the internet.
Like, you'd fucking hope not.
They're not. You know that. It is annoying that things come to that. And I mean, just to sort of stick a fucking fork in this section, like, I bought Pokken yesterday.
Oh, I.
And like, instantly the online works, and instantly the online brings up a message saying, "Don't quit on your opponent. It's disrespectful, and you'll be punished for it."
Right. And this is Nintendo,
yeah,
who can't do online,
exactly.
Blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it's still a bollock to actually play with someone you know, heaven forbid. but like, it is just way more polished, and like, it's got a proper tutorial, which, although it doesn't really go into it, it does brush up against things like frame advantage and, you know, the actual technical side of things. So they clearly want this game to be played properly. It's at Evo, and it is really, really good fun. But it's just head and shoulders above what Street Fighter V offers you out the box, which leads me to believe that, like, I think it hasn't had a great development time, and I think that the entire development time was like, let's just make the game work as well as possible, and they've nailed it. But when you've got something like Pokken just wiping the floor with it in terms of content and, you know, like, the way it supports the player and stuff, it is just like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. You're supposed to be the best.
Yeah, I mean, my friend and yours, Gary Dutton, is a big Street Fighter fan.
Well, he's been hit by it harder than anyone else.
Yeah, because basically what I was going to say is, I mean, you know, we'll not go into Gary's personal life, but I think it's fair to say that this year so far has been a bit of a difficult year for him. But there's been times where I've honestly sat there and thought, Street Fighter's the thing that's hit him hardest.
Well, yeah, he's basically, you know, he's had his second child, and he was looking forward to getting fucking stuck in online.
Yeah,
because he knew, you know, you do these things when when you have a kid, you know, there's new commitments, new responsibilities, and you know, he knew that, you know, he probably wasn't going to be able to come to a lot of the local sessions that we've been having over the last couple of weeks, but he can't fucking play it online with us.
That is
grade A bollocks.
Yeah, and that's true for, I mean, like, that's true for people like me as well, where I don't really live in anywhere where there is a thriving Street Fighter scene. Because a lot of people, just before the launch of Street Fighter V, I saw a lot of people going, right, this is the one I'm going to have a crack at.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into this one. I was a bit too young, or wasn't really into games so much when Street Fighter IV came out, because that must be 7 or 8 years ago now.
It was about 8 years.
Yeah. So they're going, right, this is the one, this is the time. And then they've just all gone, oh no, it's broken, isn't it? I won't bother.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens next week. Hopefully I don't have to talk about it again, because I really don't want this expansion to make me sad.
Next thing, hard-hitting matters. There's no good white chocolate bars.
Okay, okay. Right, between us, let's try and name them. So, Milky Bar off the fucking top.
Milky Bar,
which is good.
Milky Bar is fine, but there's not enough to it.
No, that's true. Why do they ration it out so?
I don't know. Like, you could just make a bigger one and it'd be fine.
Yeah, like
right?
A fucking like a Yorkie.
Yes, yes. Now that would be spot on, right?
Yeah.
So there's Milky
Crunchy
Bar,
Crunch or something like that.
Yeah, but you don't see many of them.
No, you don't. But like, isn't that basically a Milky Way product?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it is in that brand.
Yeah.
So it is just like a different Milky Way.
Yeah, Milky Bar.
Milky Bar.
Ways of milk Ways chocolate, aren't they?
White chocolate. Sorry.
There is a white chocolate Bueno.
I had one yesterday,
but.
Not enough white chocolate in there to
white
really
chocolate.
Call it a white chocolate Bueno, though.
Yeah. I think there was a white chocolate Kit Kat Chunky, maybe?
Yes, and it was very good. There was a white chocolate Lion Bar as well, which took no fucking prisoners.
Oh, mate, I had one of them when I was in Edinburgh. Yeah. I didn't want to fucking leave.
It's breathtaking.
Yes.
What else is there as well? You know those dippers? I forgot the name of it.
Choc dips?
Chocolate, yeah, there's a white chocolate
yes,
one.
Yes, there is. There is a white chocolate. But again, hen's teeth, mate. Mm. Like, if you can find choc dips, you'll get chocolate. You'll maybe get the caramel ones, but it's not often you get a white chocolate
yeah.
one.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is a shame, because they are... It just means that you end up buying shitty fucking Tesco own brand white chocolate, which only comes in, like, a fucking catering size amount.
Yeah, so it's like you've... What's this white chocolate bar that I've bought? Oh, it's one of those ones that you melt down for the tops of cakes.
Yeah,
so
and then you end up sat in
really
your car, in the car park. Yeah, eating the whole thing in one go, like some demented Alan Partridge tribute act. white chocolate Toblerone.
Yeah, they're pretty. But again, they're not fucking common. Like, you get them at airports.
And at Christmas, and that's about it, yeah.
Well, it's Easter. What about the white chocolate Easter egg then?
Ah, no. I tell you what I've got in the car, mate, and it's... I'm really looking forward to it. It's a white chocolate and popping candy egg.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
And it's made by... What's that company that fucking... They've just taken chocolate a bit far.
All right. I don't know, man.
Choco Block? Is that it?
Maybe. You're on your own here.
Choco Block... No, that's a children's TV show, apparently. They make these, like, fucking ludicrous slabs of calories. Okay. Here we go. Chock-a-block Easter egg. That must be it. Chock-a-block Easter egg. Tesco Real Food.
Okay.
Here we go. Right. It's one of these. And they do... it's a line called King of Eggs, right? And it's a... it's a big chocolate egg, right? With a big hole cut in the middle of it. And there's Billionaire's Dynamite, Starstruck Supernova, chocolate coated shortcake and shooting stars and milk, chocolate Easter ovals, Rocky Road of Love. What? Gold Digger. I can't find it now, but I promise it exists. Oh, hang on, this one's got some white chocolate, but it's always like this one's got some white chocolate
yeah.
on it. Fuck off!
Is there something like bat? I mean, is there something we're missing here? Is one of our, like, one or two listeners going to say, like, look, lads, if you eat loads of white chocolate, like, you fucking die?
It's all made of flies or something.
Yeah, because it is weird how it's kind of used as, like, an aside or in, like, a ration term. Like, you can't just go buy a Galaxy bar, but the cunt's white chocolate.
Yeah. And there's that, like, don't get me wrong. I like a double decker.
Yeah.
I like a Wisp Gold.
Yeah.
I like a Boost. But I would like them more, all more, if they were... But then, right, now, do we crave white chocolate so? Because it's rare.
Maybe, but then, like, I'm... Don't get me wrong, I'll fucking eat pretty much anything that's put in front of me, but But in terms of like the chocolate game, like I've recently gone like almost full Bueno, like those boys.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, I live in an area where there's plenty of like, there's plenty of corner shops. There's a lot of corners, and they've there's just all of these places do Bueno stuff, like, yeah. And like a range of them. Like, there's Buenos of like cereal bits in, like, just all. Who makes that stuff? I forgot the name.
That's Kinder Buenos.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Those guys. And I don't know, man. I just, again, it's sort of just fucking. That's what I'm going for at the minute. But again, they don't do much white chocolate stuff.
Well, I mean, the white chocolate lion I had, the only place
that's
I've ever
the
seen.
That's probably the king of white chocolate things I've had.
I'm compelled to agree with you. The only time I've seen, there was one I saw in a newsagent in Edinburgh.
Mm.
And that, well, just outside Edinburgh, in a place called Musselburgh, which is very nice. You should go. It's not, it's just close to Edinburgh. And I saw that and ate it as soon as I bought it, just because I thought I might have imagined it. So yeah. I just like, well, if at least if I can eat it, that I can enjoy the kind of delusion of having eaten it rather than it just fucking dissipating into thin air when I get back to the apartment we're staying at. But there must be a reason why. I mean, I think someone told me once that technically white chocolate isn't chocolate because it's not made from cocoa. Because cocoa beans are brown, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely not white.
Yeah, so what is white chocolate then?
I'm going to have to fucking look that up. You've put the fear into me now. What have I been eating? What is white chocolate made of?
What is white pudding? What is white gold? What is white noise? What is white vinegar? What is white chocolate made of? What is white...
Man. Okay, here's our Google image search image of the week.
Oh, here we go, right.
There is two white chocolate babies' heads.
So there is?
There you go.
Oh, they're... Oh, my... Oh, and they look like... They look like, probably because they're made out of white chocolate. They look a bit encephalatic as well.
They look like the one from the roof on Trainspotting.
I was going to say the thing that comes out of that lad's stomach in...
Quarto.
Yeah. Oh, a little bit further down. There's a cake with a massive cock and balls on top of it with surprise written on the outside.
Yes. Yes, there is.
That's image search of the week.
Yep.
I'm saving that. No, I'm not going to save that. I still
haven't actually found out what white chocolate's made out of. Okay. Bah, 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 bah. White chocolate is a chocolate derivative. It commonly consists of cocoa butter, sugar, milk solids, and is characterized by a pale yellow or ivory appearance. The melting point of cocoa butter, its primary cocoa bean component, is high enough to keep white chocolate solid at room temperature. Okay, so yeah. So it's not chocolate in the strict sense because it doesn't contain cocoa solids.
Right.
The primary nutritional constitution of chocolate liqueur. So...
Yeah. Apparently, you can make it at home in the microwave from cocoa butter, powdered sugar, and powdered milk. And cocoa butter is good for stretch marks as well. Oh. So,
just fucking smear myself in white chocolate.
Problem solved. Then the worst thing will happen is it'll all harden up, and then your skin won't be able to breathe like that fella from that James Bond film,
Moonraker.
Yeah, maybe he paints himself all gold. No. Does he paint
golfing?
Himself? Is it golf? I don't know these things. I don't know films, do I?
No.
I've never seen a James Bond film. That's not true. I've seen the one with the current James Bond, and it wasn't the most recent one, it was the one before that. It was
Skyfall.
The one. Yeah, it was the one where the bit where she says, "Where are we going, James?" And he says, "The past." And then there's a screen cut, and the next word on the screen is Scotland.
Oh, yeah. He gets his... It's his old car. That's one thing that boils my bollocks whenever anyone talks about James Bond. That everyone's like, oh, I wonder what car he's going to use. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Batista's in it.
He should just fucking ride Batista around.
Can you imagine that? Like a fucking horse.
Big fucking Dave. Batista. Batista. Well, I saw him in something else recently. And, oh, no. I tell you what it is. In my local corner shop, where I often go and get angry at the fact that they don't sell enough white chocolate. There's a big rack of DVDs, and on it is Magic Mike? Is that what it's called?
Was he in Magic Mike?
No, but Kevin Nash was.
Kevin Nash is, yeah, he's in.
And he's on the front of the he's on the front of the DVD, and I keep looking at it and going, I think you've been quite generously photoshopped there, Kevin. I don't think you're in as good a shape as this DVD cover makes
maybe
out.
Maybe. Did I tell you about what that awesome thing when the sequel was coming out, sort of maybe tail end of last year? I can't
go
remember.
On.
But they did like individual posters with the each one of the of his. I've not seen it, but. And I should, because it's got Kevin fucking Nash in it.
Yeah, each one of his apostles or whatever.
But it had like each one of his lads in it.
Yeah.
And so that just meant that, like, at a couple of train stations I visited in London throughout that month, there was just a picture of Big Sexy being Big Sexy, pretty much.
Just leering down at you.
Yeah, and that's it. No, nothing more to it. I mean, obviously it was a Magic Mike poster, but there he was. And that was excellent. In fact,
watching over you,
that
like
Big Dave, his next film is a remake of fucking Kickboxer where he's playing Tong Po.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Good That's grief.
As bad as Kevin Nash looming down on you like Mufasa's ghost.
That would make me sad.
Anyway, yeah, we've got off on a bit of a tangent here. Look, the long and the short of it is, there's not enough white chocolate in shops and it fucking annoys me, right?
All right, this is the thing that's making me sad. The fact that VR costs way too much. Here's your mask and here's your glove. It's all an arcade game. We call it virtual reality, so nothing's what it seems. Although we may want...
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not just the fact it costs a lot as well. It's the fact that, like, I kind of feel like I've had the rug pulled out from underneath me on this. So... going back, I was really into Oculus because I like Doom and I listen to things that John Carmack says. And whenever Carmack gets in on things, especially stuff like that, and when you look at the things he's done with like the source codes for Doom and Quake over the years, he's a bit of a component of kind of open source stuff and, you know, allowing people to experiment with things.
Yeah,
I think that's a really cool thing. So when he was involved, I thought, oh, this is awesome. And then Oculus got eventually bought out by Facebook, which again I thought was maybe a good thing because it meant that they basically had unlimited money to throw at this ridiculous project.
Yeah.
And I was going to get a dev kit, but I was told to hold off because the dev kit 2 was going to be considerably better and HD. So I did. And again, it was one of those ones where, like, I made it to the basket on that thing.
Right.
But I was moving house, and it was just a terrible idea. But that thing was maybe... it's going to be, like, just under £200, I think, for the dev kit, which...
yeah, because both the dev kits were, like, 150, yeah. 200, 250
and
quid.
And seeing prices like that kind of made me go, okay, I can see that this is something where they're trying to, like, almost, like, democratise it, you know, like, get it out there so people can kind of use it. And allow people to create the market. And because, you know, I think that, like, this is something that if it was put into the hands of more people and more, like, people who can't just afford the most expensive thing in the world, you're going to get cooler stuff and it might have a higher attach rate and actually show up, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, didn't do it. And then I was going to get the Samsung one. And this is a year and a half ago now. So I got the Note 4 because that was going to act as the screen for it. And it just didn't come out. And now it is out. And they're pushing it as part of their new handset that's just like hit the shelves in the last couple of weeks. So it's like, cheers, guys. I had a phone for a year that I didn't really want because I wanted to get in on the VR thing and it didn't come out. And now I've got a different phone and I can't do VR.
Right.
And the pricing's been announced for all of the actual release units of the Oculus, the HTC Vive, or Vive, whatever it is, and the Sony one, and they're all, like, completely priced me out. They've all completely priced me out the market.
They're all 350 to 800 quid, aren't they?
Yeah, the cheapest one is the PS4, which is about 350 quid.
Yeah.
But the Oculus Rift is, like, 600 quid, isn't it? And that's way too much. I can't justify that ever.
No.
I mean, obviously, if it may come down, But in order for it to come down, surely it's going to need to take off and there'd be, you know, entry-level units and whatnot. But right now, I feel like they've almost gone like, yeah, you know all those really cool ideas we were talking about with VR, and we're going to get this, the technology's finally here for everyone to experience VR in the home. You know, it's going to be something that we want in everyone's home. Oh, wait, no, we don't. It's only for people who are like mad PC nerds who've just spent a grand upgrading their graphics card. And you can buy this as well because... And it's like, no, that's not for everyone now. You fucked up there.
Well, this is the thing. We've had a couple in work, right?
Yeah.
A couple of dev kits. And I distinctly remember trying... Like, some of the demos that the guy who had it was running. He was running them on a laptop. And it might well have been like a daft fucking £3,000 laptop or whatever. But it was a laptop. Like, I can remember him setting it up on a desk separately. And I, you have to wonder whether there'd be scope for, like you were saying, the whatever, could they release like a dev kit spec thing at 150, 200 quid to go, look, here it is, you can buy this, and it's the entry level, the budget one.
Yeah.
Because, so, I experienced that in work, as I work for a technology company, we get things like that, we had Google Glass in as well for a little bit, things like that, we get hold of this stuff. But for a lot of people who don't, whose only opportunity otherwise is to queue for an hour and a half at Resd or EGX or whatever, and that still doesn't cover everybody off. Like, not everybody can make it to the middle of London or the middle of Birmingham or whatever for a big expo like that. So it's for those other people to try and sell it to them. Could you not release, given that you have not previously sold this stuff? I mean, maybe it was an almost infinite loss. I don't know, but they have sold this stuff at 150, 200 quid. Can you not continue to do that, if only to... Or even just accept a fucking loss leader now, just to get people into it. Because I tried like a roller coaster thing where you go around like some like Fable Castle type thing and you go off the track and stuff like that. I was fully sold on it after that. And I know that you and I played some fucking horse riding game Eurogamer that I think, even though it was a kind of shitty demonstration of what it can do, I think still sold you on it to an extent that...
Yeah, fully. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, so, like, but you and I have had that experience. We've been able to go to EGX, we've been able to go to Resd and do that. I've had them in work, so we've been able to experience those things, but for a lot of people, they won't have that opportunity to ever try it, so they won't know that they want it. All they know is, oh, there's that VR thing's out, how much is it? Oh, it's 400 quid, 500 quid, oh, I'll not fucking bother them. Like, the end. That's just, people will not even, they won't even know that they want it or know whether they want it because they'll never have the opportunity to ever go. I mean, the Vive, you need to clear like a fucking 10-foot space for it as well, don't you?
Yeah. And apparently the Sony one requires a fair bit of space in front of your TV as well.
Really? Oh,
which again is a worry because, like, I think I've just moved to a place that I could do that, but like, still not fucking ideal.
Yeah. Like, my PS4 is set up in a room that is probably 8 foot square. I and that's got a desk and bookcases. It's like my office basically. So I don't rate my chances of being able to fucking use anything like that in this space.
Yeah, it's annoying, man. But you see what I mean? That like in the build up over the last sort of like maybe 2 years
that's
been going on, there has been this thing where like it's almost like they have been trying to make an attempt to go like, look, we tried it back in the day, it didn't fucking work because the technology wasn't there, but we've got to the point now where we can actually make it a decent experience and the technology's cheap enough that we can pitch this to the home.
Yeah.
And it's just like suddenly it's like, no, it isn't something that everyone will have. Like when the iPhone first came out, it was kind of in this situation as well. But the difference between iPhone and VR is like everyone needs a phone.
Yeah.
Like, or they don't need, you know, they don't need it, but more people it's need more a of phone. A, yeah,
yeah, it's more of a necessity than a fucking space helmet. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. And so that makes me think that, like, well, no, that I don't know if there will be a second chance at this. I think they might have screwed it up. Like, The Sony one's the best chance they've got of success, but it costs more than the fucking console.
And this is the thing as well. Like, I was chatting to somebody about it the other day. I've got a friend who's been kind of, he plays an awful lot of Eve and a lot of Elite and things like that. So he's been keeping an eye out on VR because it's the sort of thing that interests him.
And I've played Elite with the VR headset on.
Right.
And, like, it's an absolute, like, genuinely breathtaking experience. You know, like, in Elite, there's plenty of opportunities to just float around in space.
Yeah.
Because the default craft that you have in EVE is just, like, a little one-man unit.
Mm.
Like, almost like a casket floating around in space. It's got a big glass roof over the top of it. And when you're sat in that cockpit with graphics that look like that, with, you know, the sound design, you know, all the fucking terminals humming around you and stuff, and you can just look around and see other players going past you in their ships and stuff, and when you look up, it's just nothingness as far as the eye can see.
Mm.
It's genuinely quite spectacular. And again, it does that thing that because you're sat down, you know, you're not controlling yourself, the ship is moving, it kind of does a few, it tricks you a little bit. You're more susceptible to believing.
On the subject of sitting down, have you seen the video of, it's a Russian man doing, I think, the roller coaster demo I was telling you about before?
Yeah.
Whose friend pushes him.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. It's amazing. He's just, his equilibrium is gone.
Yeah, his friend gives him a very, very slight nudge, and he basically falls over the course of about a minute and a half.
But yeah, what's amazing is obviously as he's falling, the headset is changing where it's looking.
Yes.
So he's trying to correct his balance based on where his in-game self is.
Based on where he thinks he is. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, he was into it. He was borderline lawnmower man at that point.
Yeah, he was. I'm sorry, I'm watching it again. He is fully fucking jacked into it. It is the most incredible. He actually goes down, back up, and back down about three times. Yeah. It is the most incredible thing. But no, like, my friend who's been really interested in VR, when Sony finally announced how much theirs was going to be, was like, yeah, that's £350. That's not bad, £350. And then he went, yeah, but I don't have a PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's £600 for him. Unless, you know, they might do a bundle, and it might be £500 or £550.
Yeah.
But at that point, you might as well get a Rift if you're a PC gamer.
Yeah.
Like, because he doesn't have a console, so...
Yeah.
Regardless of what he does, he's going to be paying £500-600. Mm. And like he said, when they announced the Rift, he went, if it was £300, I'd have put the money down then and there.
Yeah, same here. I think that was my point. I think the reason why I'm more susceptible to the PS4 one is obviously I have a PS4, so it seems like less of an investment. It's still about the absolute limit of what I would spend on something like that.
Yeah.
But I was quite glad to see that Sony didn't match those other ones pound for pound, because I would have been like, well, that's me out of that game.
Yeah, for at least a year or two.
Yeah, and again, my main worry is by the time that it does drop in price, it drops in price because no cunt wants it. Because there's nothing supporting it. That's what I'm worried about.
Because that's the thing, your EAs and your Ubisofts and whatnot aren't going to support it because they're not going to get a return on it, surely.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you could make Battlefield for it, or you can make Battlefield for everything else that's going to sell more copies.
So, doesn't look like we're going to get the boat on this one.
Yeah, and that does make me sad.
Thing number six, the final one. Unfortunately, it's not the Insane Clown Posse again this week. This week it is IKEA. Lingers me home, diddy hoon, gonna say do. Yee, bear, spear, horn, bear, scare, bork, bork, bork. English beer, the Swedish meatball. Beer is beer, the sauce, the meatball. See, right, IKEA, it turns out, is actually, and you're going to disagree with me on this, I know you are, but I've got, there's logic behind this, IKEA is a good place to go on a bank holiday weekend.
I don't know, man. I mean, that's the only time I'd go, but everyone else has that idea and it turns into hell on fucking earth.
But, right, here's the thing. Everyone's going the same direction because it's IKEA.
IKEA to me is like a bastard maze. And the other thing which bothers me about everyone else being there is the food area is really small.
So the food area is horrifically busy. Yeah.
You've got to queue up for like 6 weeks to get those hot dogs, which are your reward for traipsing around IKEA.
Yeah.
And that weird red drink.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Called, like, Stonk or something. Yeah.
It's good, though.
It is very good. But yeah, it's your reward for the first bit, and like your practice and your fuel for the second bit.
Mm.
The bit that requires the heavy lifting you didn't fucking bargain on having to
yeah.
do. No, we went this bank holiday weekend because I've decided, basically, once we've got married, I want to start tidying the house and getting the house fucking sorted, because I'm a prick who thinks like that now.
Mm.
And we went, and there was all these... We had this great idea. We were going to build like a walk-in wardrobe in the bedroom.
Right.
And we needed some of these side units to build shelves. No problem. Everything in IKEA comes flat-packed, doesn't it? So it'll all go in the car. No problem. Turns out the side units we need, they don't fucking come pre-packed whatsoever. They come fully fucking built. And they come at fucking 220 centimetres by 56 centimetres. Fucking Ivar frame bastard shitting things. So it meant that I'm now stood in IKEA with everything that we need to build a wardrobe, to build a walk-in wardrobe, except the fucking wardrobe. I'm looking at it going... We can't do this. There's no actual way. And, like, IKEA for us is a bit of a drive. It's, like, 50 minutes away as well.
Right.
So I'm going, I could hire a van. I could hire a van from somewhere in Warrington. Then I could buy these bits. Then my fiancé can drive the car home. And then I'll get the van. That'll work. No, but then I'd have to take the van back to Warrington. Oh, for fuck's sake, what can we do? So in the end, we just had to drive home. Like, I was so upset. The car is still full of all the other stuff that we bought. I haven't been able to bring myself to take it out the back. This was 2 days ago now. I've just been driving around. I've been driving around doing all sorts of other shit today with just like... But it makes me look mad because it's all like poles and stuff in the back of the car. Like, and I look like I'm off to fucking lynch somebody. Or like build my own crucifix in the back of the car. But
so what
it's just...
weekend for it?
Well, yeah. that's true. If you're going to build a crucifix, you might as well do it tomorrow. I actually quite like IKEA. I know you've not had the best experience with it.
No, it's the place I've come the closest to having a full-on nervous breakdown.
In fairness, how hungover were you?
Right, okay, so I was top 10 all-time hungover at that point. And, yeah, I had to go into IKEA to buy, like, a bunch of shelves for just moving into my then new house. And, again, the only thing that was keeping me sane was the fact that I could get the football scores on the phone. And eventually we went into the dungeon at IKEA, the dark underbelly where all the weird tat is. And like the household things in the IKEA near us is all underground. And I went in there and eventually I lost phone service and it just wouldn't load. And I shed a tear. Like, honestly, I cried. I was just like, I just want to go home. I'm done. I'm fucking fed up with this.
I mean, yeah, it's worth pointing out, I saw Andy the night before this, and I remember saying to him, "Are you all right, Andy?" And he looked at me, and he mimed a plane crashing into a wall.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't look your best that evening.
No, I was done.
But no, I quite like... Oh, and a child knocked me over. That's the other thing that happened.
What?
So once we got to, you know, the bit where you start getting all the boxes... Like, the final challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
We got there, and it was there that I realised that I'd lost the piece of paper that we'd written down all the stuff that we needed on. So I had to do a quick trip back round IKEA, making the same notes again of all the things that we bought. So I'm now rushing around. I've gone right the way back to the start, and then I was skipping around. It's basically like fucking dying in front of a bonfire in Dark Souls, right? I'm back there at the start, but I know what I'm doing this time, so I'm straight around, no problem. And I'm coming through the fridges, and obviously the fridge area and the kitchen area, there's lots of very tall, very square things, lots of dead corn, lots of dead angles and things like that, blind angles. So I'm just rushing around getting things like that, and all of a sudden, round a corner comes a child on fucking Heelys, right? And just like I'm coming around the corner, so I'm moving at speed as well. So I'm lent into the corner, right? I've committed to the corner.
Yeah.
And he comes in and just fucking takes takes like my ankle and the bottom of my knee out, right? And it doesn't knock me over, but it puts enough force into my leg to just make me very slowly kind of I kept going forwards, but my legs just fucking kept going sideways until the point where my hands, which were basically above my head, were then touching the floor. Mm. And I basically realised I was lying fully elongated on the floor of IKEA on Bank Holiday Friday.
Has anyone ever died because of Heelys?
I fucking, another child in Heelys very nearly went into a big table full of glass.
Oh yeah, here we go. Boy 12 given 50-50 chance of survival after Heelys accident.
Did they explode?
Heelied into a car.
Fuck. I assume the car was moving.
Oh no, and here's one here. Heelys not at fault in child's death. In America, I didn't think those were over there. Seems...
Well, considering they're not allowed Kinder eggs because they might choke on them.
Yeah.
Oh, Kinder eggs!
That also was a car as well.
So, yeah, in many ways, it's not Healy's fault. It's just cars.
Yeah, yeah. Just kids getting hit by cars.
Yeah. And cars are basically just kind of Healy's taken to their logical conclusion, yeah, aren't they? Yeah. Kinder eggs. They've got white chocolate in them.
They are. And like I say, I'm a big fan of what Kinder do. I think they're underrated. People are all like, ah, fucking Cadbury, you twat. And I'm like, nah, no. No, because Nutella's excellent too.
Aren't Kinder a bit child labour-y, though?
You know, people have got to work, Chris.
I'm sure. Oh, no, wait, that's Nestle, isn't it?
Yes! Get in.
You're all right, I think, on Kinder. Yeah, because Kinder are German anyway, aren't
they? Yeah, of course they are. It means child.
It does mean child. Kinder Surprise means child surprise, which...
Which brings us back into the...
No, because I was about to make that joke, and I stopped myself, and I was going to say, let's not make a fucking shitty joke. But you went and did it anyway.
Yeah, well...
I'm telling you, mate, we're going to be accused of being two good boys. That's all that's going to happen.
Mm. Two shit boys.
Two shit boys. That's what two sad boys. That's what we should have called it, mate.
Two sad boys.
Two sad boys. Because that's accurate. Accurate. I think this might be done.
This is making me traumatically sad.
Dreams. Dream bars.
Mate. Oh. Me, you too.